All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 16, which is entitled How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. This is text 21.
Yeah, I'll go to the top, yeah, you're right.
Arakshamana.
Arakshamana.
Unprotected.
Unprotected.
Striya.
Striya.
Woman.
Woman.
Urvi.
Urvi.
On the earth.
On the earth.
Balan.
Balan.
Children.
Children.
Sochasi.
Sochasi.
You are feeling compassion.
You are feeling compassion.
Ato.
Ato.
As such.
Purusha
Adi.
Purusha Adi.
By men.
By men.
Now, it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada actually gave class two times on this verse. Once in Hawaii, I think it was in January, and another time in LA, both in 1974. And when he was in Hawaii, he repeated this again. He said, what was that? Purusha Adi? And Prajumna said, by men. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. That means cannibal, rakshasa.
He said, I'm still in there, isn't
it? Yeah. He said to Prajumna, he said, you should have a notebook and you should write down these discrepancies so that they can be fixed in the future. So.
Actually, that means they eat men. Purusha is a man.
Yeah, he said it's rakshasas, cannibals. And he spoke about it a little bit there in his talk, too.
Stop getting hungry.
So,
Eva,
like that.
Artan,
those who are unhappy.
Those who are unhappy.
Vocha,
Vacham,
vocabulary.
Vocabulary.
Devim,
the goddess.
Brahmana Kule, in the family of the Brahmana. Kukarmani, acts against the principles of religion. Abrahmane, persons against the Brahminical culture. Raja Kule,
in the administrative family.
Kula Agriyam, most of all the families, the Brahmanas.
They'll say Rakshashas up there.
Yes, it's cannibal.
Say Rakshashas. It
says cannibal Rakshashas.
Where? Oh, yeah, nice. It doesn't have it here, and when I looked at my thing online, it didn't have it either. This is nice. Okay.
Something to say.
So, translation. Are you feeling compunction for the unhappy woman and children who are left forlorn by unscrupulous persons? Or are you unhappy because the goddess of learning is being handled by brahmanas addicted to acts against the principles of religion? Or are you sorry to see that the brahmanas have taken shelter of administrative families that do not respect the Brahminical culture? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the age of Kali, the women and children, along with the brahmanas and cows, will be grossly neglected and left unprotected. In this age, illicit connection with women will render many women and children uncared for. Circumstantially, the woman will try to become independent of the protection of men, and marriage will be performed as a matter of formal agreement between man and woman. In most cases, the children will not be taken care of properly. The brahmanas are traditionally intelligent men, and thus they will be able to pick up modern education to the topmost rank. But as far as moral and religious principles are concerned, they shall be the most fallen. Education and bad character go ill together, but such things will run parallel. The administrative heads as a class will condemn the tenets of Vedic wisdom and will prefer to conduct so-called secular state, and the so-called educated brahmanas will be purchased by such unscrupulous administrators. Even a philosopher and writer of many books on religious principles may also accept an exalted post in a government which denies all the moral codes of the Shastras. The brahmanas are specifically restricted from accepting such service. But in this age, they will not only accept the service, but they will do so even if it is of the meanest quality. These are some of the symptoms of the Kali Age, which are harmful to the general welfare of human society. So, I say, you say, translation. Are you feeling compunction? Repeat.
It says out there,
compunction.
Huh?
It says you're feeling sorry.
It's all right, we don't do word for word usually. Different up there, so we have problems.
Okay, well, anyways, it says compunction. Anyways, okay, we'll start.
Logic would be different.
Yeah. And interesting, because I actually looked up that word compunction in the dictionary, because Prabhupada was very, exact in his English language. And one of the definitions of compunction says, it implies a spontaneous feeling of responsibility or compassion for a potential victim. And when Prabhupada talked about the verse, the word compunction was in there.
It's also in Vedas, not I.
Call Drew Veda.
We'll call Drew Veda right now.
Anyways. The meaning is the same. Om Gyan Timurandasya Ganangana Salakaya Chaksur Vimuditam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurde Namaha. Mukham Karochi Vachalam Pangam Haite Giri Yakripa Kamham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarnam Vancha Kalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So yeah, Srila Prabhupada spoke twice on this verse. And each time he did some similar thing, but they were different. And one of them, he started talking more about the previous verse, about the unlawful meat eaters. And he was saying that, this is a Dharma the bull talking to Bhumi the cow, who he has his legs broken, but still he's speaking like this out of compassion. And this is the thing about, he was talking to a cow and he was talking about meat eaters, so, are you worried that, people are going to eat you? And in this verse, it's about about rakshasas and cannibals. And he was in Hawaii, and he said, just think. If in Hawaii some cannibals moved in and they were taking and eating people, what would your reaction be? And he said it would be just like this verse. You want to protect the woman and children first, and the ones that need protection you would want to protect them, but you would be very moved to compassion for them. So I thought that was a very stark example. And he's saying that this protection of the ones who need protection should come first. And he talked a lot about the protection of women. And he said how the father's duty, it's called kanja dai. It means a duty, it's a debt that they have to get their daughters married. And he was talking about this, we have so many debts, to the demigod. We're debtor in so many ways, just like we get the sunshine. He said, just like in this temple, we have electricity. The lights are going, the fan, the microphone is working, our computers. We have electricity, but we have to pay for it. And if we don't pay our bill, then it will get cut off. But the sunshine, the moonshine, the rain, all these things the demigods are providing, we're a debtor. We're in debt to them, but it won't get turned off because Krishna, they're doing it under the direction of Krishna. And Krishna is instructing them that they have to produce the sunshine and the rain and things. So they're servants of Krishna. But it's actually sinful that if you accept something and then you don't pay for it, or if you don't reciprocate for it. Said, you know, even you're getting so much knowledge from this spiritual master, you're indebted. Therefore, you know, every year we have a Guru Puj, and your whole life should actually be formed in this way to try to repay the debt. But even friends, if you have a friendship, you're accepting that friendship and you become a debtor. So everyone is a debtor. And if we don't repay these things, then it's sinful and we have to accept the reaction. And of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you know, just surrender unto me, I will relieve you of all sinful reaction. So that is actually the only way you can be relieved from all these debts. He said, that's spiritual. He said, but, you know, material, you can actually have like bankruptcy, or in India he was saying insolvency, where if you only have $100 but you have thousands of dollars of debt, you can actually go to the court and you can ask them, the creditors, to divide up your assets just so that they won't harass you anymore. He said, but spiritually that you can't do that. And even he said, this kanya dai, this is the duty of the father for his daughter. He said that it's called kanya dai. He said, you can never be free from that debt. And he, you know, he was explaining, and I know it's controversial in ISKCON about, you know, how the father protects the woman when they're young age and tries to get them suitably married, and then the husband takes care of them in their old age, their children. But Srila Prabhupada was saying it in such a way with so much compassion that he was saying that, you know, he sees the whole Western civilization unhappy and suffering. And this is, you know, a way to actually make them happy. And it's, you know, just like in the Vedas it's described that a king is the best form of government. But if you have a bad king, not somebody who is a Rajarsi or a saintly king, then that becomes very bad. It's actually like an evil king, like King Venu, was so terrible. But it's not that the system is bad, it's that the individual is bad. So these Vedic injunctions about how the father has a debt to his daughter, and you know how there should be saintly kings, it actually it takes some training, and it takes some intelligent use of how to implement these things. And I know in ISKCON we failed in many ways of how to do this. But like I say, Srila Prabhupada, when he's talking about things, it's done from such a compassionate platform that just wants to see people happy. He wants them to engage in Krishna consciousness. And that's the actual, the feeling of this verse is, you know, the bull is asking Dharma, you know, are you unhappy because of this and this? And, you know, he wants to, he's concerned, he's feeling this unhappiness, and that's actually a symptom of a devotee, that he becomes unhappy when he sees other unhappy. So we can see that this is Srila Prabhupada's mood. He was in Vrindavan, you know, enjoying like anything in the land of Krishna and Rupa Goswami's, right in front of Rupa Goswami's samadhi. But he had the order of his spiritual master, and he came to the West at great difficulty just to try to help people, try to make them happy. So Krishna consciousness, he said, is the program to make everyone happy. And even he was giving an example of India is like a lame man, and America is like a blind man. But together they can help each other. If the lame man carries, if the blind man carries the lame man on his shoulders, the lame man who has vision, can tell him where to go and how to see. And again, he was saying this. He said, if America and India get together like this, they can make the whole world happy. He used that word, happy. So, you know, he was also saying how there's always danger, you know, at every step, and you have to take shelter of Krishna. But there's always problem, and, you know, right now, you see, he said there's so many manufactured problems, just like, you know, the petrol problem, where are we going to get petrol, and now we have the COVID, you know, this disease. Or he said the best example is in Bhagavad Gita, the winter and summer seasons. So these are problems. There's excessive cold in the winter, excessive heat in the summer. He said, but Krishna explains that you have to tolerate these. And the real problem is this repetition of birth and death. He said, that's what we should be talking about. We shouldn't really concern ourselves with these so-called temporary problems. Because there's always going to be problems. This whole world is full of problems. But the real problem is this birth, death, disease, and old age. And we have to you know, be intelligent and really understand that that is the real problem, that we, you know, we don't want to take birth again. We want to go back home, back to Godhead, or we want to serve Krishna. So, in another lecture, Srila Prabhupada was talking about how Krishna feels pain. And he said, just like, you know, we're fallen. And he was, you know, explaining how everyone is fallen because everyone is engaging in sinful activities. And the same thing, just how we're debtors, we're not grateful for all these things that we're given. Everybody is sinful, and when you're sinful, you can't really have any happiness. You're not going to be happy. And there's just so many problems. So he said, when you're attached to Krishna, he said, we're intimately connected with Krishna. He said, just like our finger, it's intimately connected with our body. So when our finger feels a little pain, immediately I'm affected because the finger is intimately connected with our body. So in the same way, when we're fallen, Krishna feels pain. And he said, so just become Krishna conscious and give Krishna pleasure. I thought that was a really nice way of putting it. And that's, you know, like I always saying before, how a Vaishnava is unhappy when he sees other people in distress. Like, I can't remember the Sanskrit word. It's paraduki duki. Dukha duki. That, yeah. So he's also seeing that Krishna is feeling a little pain, and therefore he's preaching and he's, you know, helping everyone to purify their existence so that they can actually give pleasure to Krishna. And that should be our goal, you know, to give pleasure to Krishna. There's, of course, that nice example when Krishna was in Dwarka, and he told, and Narada Muni was there, and he said that he had a headache. And he said to Narada Muni, go get the dust of the devotees, because if I put that on my head, that's the only thing that'll cure my headache. So Narada went to some devotees in Dwarka and asked for the dust of their feet to cure Krishna's headache, but they wouldn't give it because they said, oh no, if Krishna puts the dust of my feet on his head, I'll go to hell. That's a great offense. So Narada Muni came back to Krishna and he explained that nobody wanted to give the dust because they didn't want to go to hell because it would be a great offense. So Krishna told Narada Muni, go to Vrindavan and ask the gopis. And so Narada Muni went to Vrindavan and he asked the gopis, he explained, you know, Krishna has a headache and he needs the dust of his devotees' feet to cure his headache. He said immediately they started scraping their feet to get the dust from their feet. And they were all, you know, getting all this dust to give to Narada Muni. And Narada Muni was surprised and he said, Aren't you afraid that you'll go to hell if Krishna puts your dust on his forehead? And the gopis, with their pure love, said, oh, we don't care if we go to hell. We just want Krishna's headache to be cured. So that was their pure love, that they didn't care anything for themselves. Even if they went to hell, they were just concerned with Krishna's pleasure. And of course, that is the topmost level of the gopis. That they feel like this. So, also in New Vrindavan in 1976, there was evening darshan, and the darshan was like just about over, and I think they were just asking one more question, and somebody asked Srila Prabhupada if Vyasadeva was Trikala Gyan. And even though we thought the darshan was almost over, Srila Prabhupada became enlivened by this question, and he told Pradyumna to go get the 12th canto and read about these symptoms of the age of Kali. And a lot of it was just like here. The women and children are going to be exploited. And he talked a great length about this, and he talked a lot about this, all the different symptoms of age of Kali, and at the very end of his talk, there was this one Mataji, Gopalakshmi Priya, who was sitting in the darshan, and it was a little bit chilly that evening, and she didn't have a chador or a sweater or anything, and Srila Prabhupada asked her if she's all right. Are you warm enough? And she was so shy, she didn't even answer. But the temple president said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, she's just happy to be, here in your association. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. He said, you should take care of the women. He said, they're so shy, they won't ask for it. But he said, you should take care of them, protect them. He said, at least once a month, you should ask them if they need anything. So here Srila Prabhupada was also this kind of the same mood. He was a concern that the women were being protected and they were being taken care of. And, he saw that as his duty in establishing ISKCON, that this mood would be there. So, and also on a, well, Srila Prabhupada talked a lot, sorry I'm kind of skipping around here, about, Vyasadeva and Trikala Gyan and all these things, and, one of the symptoms is that the people of Kali Yuga will have long hair and think they're beautiful. And Srila Prabhupada chuckled and said, just see how that is now happening. The hippies are like that. And the one thing that I remember about talking about this Trikala Gyan, or being able to see the Vyasadeva could see the future, and devotees, great devotees, can see like that. He said everyone has this potency to a small degree. He said just like you may know that, the winter has come, so the winter is going to come because you've experienced it. Or that it's sunny out today, it's going to be kind of warmer in the afternoon. He said, so everybody can predict the future a little bit, but great devotees, they can see this past, present, and future, and they can instruct for our benefits. It's going to be so hellish later on in the age of Kali, better finish up your business, don't waste your human form of life, and perfect your Krishna consciousness. So anyway, I just really wanted to emphasize this mood of Srila Prabhupada was speaking from this very compassionate platform, and even when he would call all the scientists, rascals, and the Mayavadis, cheaters and things, you know, he was doing it with the view of making people happy, actually giving them Krishna consciousness so that they can, you know, get out of this material world, this fallen condition, and so that we can give pleasure to Krishna. So this, you know, also, you know, talking about debts, and he spoke a lot about how we're always a debtor, and the only way to become free from the debt is to surrender to Krishna. But it reminds me of this story, and I've told this story here a few times, of my godbrother Taru asking Srila Prabhupada a question about how his question was, when we preach to the farmers around New Vrindavan, they say that they don't have any time to worship God, that they're too busy with their farming work, you know, how should we talk to them? And Srila Prabhupada, in a very dramatic way, because Pushna Krishna and Drishtadyumna were there on each of his side. One was Chamara Wisp fanning him, the other was a peacock fan fanning him. And he said first to Pushna Krishna, he said, "You answer this question." So Pushna Krishna thought for a second, and he still kept, you know, with the Chamara Wisp. And he said, "Well, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita," and Prabhupada immediately threw out his arm and he said, "Don't bring the Gita." And, you know, we were all shocked. And so he said, "Drishtadyumna, you answer the question." And Drishtadyumna was, you know, fanning with a peacock fan. And because he had just cut off Pushta Krishna so abruptly, you know, "Don't bring the Gita," you could tell Drishtadyumna Maharaj was thinking very deeply, you know, how should I answer this? So he said, "Well, Krishna says," and Prabhupada immediately threw his arm out the other side and he said, "Don't bring Krishna." And, you know, we were just so shocked because, you know, we're always instructed that, especially in spiritual circles, you should quote from Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita. But Srila Prabhupada didn't want that answer for this question. So he just leaned forward and he said, "Okay, rascal." He said, "Can you make it rain? Can you make the sun shine? You know, you're dependent on Krishna for so many things." He said, "Just be grateful. Worshipping Krishna is just being grateful." And these talks that Srila Prabhupada gave about how we're indebted to, you know, the sun god for supplying sunlight, and, you know, so that we can stay alive, we can grow food, we can do our service to Krishna. You know, we're indebted in so many ways. And to just be grateful for all these things. And this, you know, gratitude is, you know, Srila Prabhupada didn't want us to just like quote scriptures all the time, but not have any, you know, of the feeling behind it, not have the, you know, the real understanding and gratitude and, you know, compassion that Srila Prabhupada was, you know, speaking about. And just, you know, he really, at least to me, really kind of drove home that point of, you know, be grateful for everything that you have. And that's, you know, the beginning of worshiping Krishna. And of course, and also to, well, Srila Prabhupada, he would, and this is my, experience or what I've noticed about sometimes when Srila Prabhupada would answer questions, a lot of times he wouldn't directly answer the question, but he would answer the person, and he would, you know, talk to the person in such a way to make sure that the person would understand, you know, a certain point, even if the point was off or his question wasn't proper. And Srila Prabhupada had that that potency to really connect with whoever was asking the question and answer it in such a way, you know, specifically for that person so that they would benefit. So, let me read the verse one more time. It said, and here it says, "Are you feeling compunction for the unhappy woman and children who are left forlorn by unscrupulous persons? Or are you unhappy because the goddess of learning is being handled by brahmanas addicted to acts against the principles of religion? Or are you sorry to see that the brahmanas have taken shelter of administrative families that do not respect Brahminical culture? So, are there any questions or comments? The Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for a nice class. I was in Mayapur, and one devotee was giving a series of seminars on different aspects of Varnashram, you know, Grihastha Ashram, Varnaprastha, and such like. And they had a big gathering, and I remember one Maharaj, he says, because the series was like the Krishna's system, how Krishna's system is perfect, you know, Varnashram. But this sannyasi, he said, we have to be careful in following Krishna's system not to forget Krishna.
Right.
So in Kali Yuga, everything is so messed up, and we're trying to implement what we think. Sometimes it's just too difficult, yeah. And how we should know ourselves, we should have that intelligence to understand the individual situation, but at the same time, like, not to throw out the baby with the bathwater, yeah, like you said at the beginning,
exactly.
The system is there, and if we can follow it, it's good, but sometimes coming from such a background and, you know, dysfunctional, and like the father is meant to protect the daughter, but often he's the abuser. And so on and so on. And so women should be protected, but I mean, I was told, no, you have to learn to protect yourself. Mm. So how to do that? Anyway, just a comment. I could say a lot more on that.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, just... go ahead.
It's... you said not to quote the Shastra in order to establish some truth. Maybe it depends on Prabhupada
told... You should quote scripture. Just this particular instance, Prabhupada didn't want to.
Okay. Yeah. Because I remember Jayadutta Maharaj was giving Sunday feast class here, maybe 8 years back or something. Uh-huh. Then one Indian gentleman, he says, Maharaj, you mentioned 3 times uttering Ram's name equal to 1 Krishna's name. I'm a little bit confused. Both are the same God. So Maharaj said, there's a verse, and then he didn't remember. So I said, well, Prabhupada said, I heard this. Say, I know, but that's not enough. So I asked Jayadutta Maharaj, how come Prabhupada said that was not enough? Then he said, Prabhupada told him, don't just quote your guru say. You should quote the Shastra, because people has respect.
Right.
The scriptures. And there is a verse, Tri Abritta Tu Jat Phalam. It's in Chaitanya Chaitamita also.
Mm-hmm.
So, in at the same time, when you say, you mentioned about grateful attitude, Prabhupada said, the progression in spiritual path depends on the attitude of a practitioner. Now we say, Prabhupada said. What will be the difference if I come up with something that not referred by any acharya or shastra? Some realization I have, but no reference.
No, it always has to have guru, sadhu, and shastra.
Very good.
And that's why when Srila Prabhupada spoke, it was always from, you know, the shastras and guru and sadhus. It's just that sometimes, and this is a story that Satsarupa Maharaj told me, that Srila Prabhupada was speaking in one of the colleges in Boston. And he gave his lecture, and Satsarupa was in the car with him on the way home. And Srila Prabhupada turned to Satsarupa and he said, today I did an experiment. I I gave the example about how the soul passes from youth to, you know, boyhood. He said, but I didn't say that it was in Bhagavad Gita. I didn't quote Bhagavad Gita. He said, but that example is so strong, you know, but I didn't say that it was in Bhagavad Gita. Just in that audience, you know, he was just, you know, doing the logic, but it was in Bhagavad Gita, but he just didn't mention that.
Yeah, that's understood.
Yeah.
That's understood. People can relate.
Right.
Yeah. But then Prabhupada also defeated Arya Samaj on that same topics.
Yeah.
Because Arya Samaj was kind of a challenging Prabhupada. You are making them Hindus in South Africa. Prabhupada confrontation. And Prabhupada said, oh, Krishna says, Dehi Naushmin Jata Dehi Komaram Jovanam Jara. So the soul passes from a childhood to youth to reproductive dwindle and death. Is this only for the Hindus? So Prabhupada also, like, it depends on the place and time.
Yeah. But no, you're definitely correct that we should always quote from Guru Sadhana Shastra. But I mean, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he's my guru, so I usually try to quote from him like that. And, you know, I have faith that he was always speaking from the Shastras and making his points. And he understood what he was trying to say and, you know, just how to say it.
Actually, but the quote of Prabhupada, he said something, everything we say, there is always backup.